Welcome to The Liberating Secret. My name is Sylvia Pierce, and I'm really glad to be with you today. I've been doing a series, and as you know by now, the name of the series is Christ Our Life Scriptural Basis. And that's exactly what it is. It's a scriptural basis to our ministry, Christ Our Life. Last time, I did my testimony, so hope you all heard my testimony. If not, you can pick up my testimony in my book, The Treasures of Darkness. So look on our website, the Liberating Secret website in the bookstore, and you will see The Treasures of Darkness in my book. I like this book a lot, or I wouldn't have written it, I guess. But it does have my testimony in it. It starts out by saying this. I start out by saying, I don't understand myself. How come I've got Jesus and I love him with all my heart, all my soul, all my might, but yet I hate myself, the very person he's chosen to live inside of? How come I hate myself? And I answer it in this book, and I give my testimony of how I discovered who I really was. And that's what I've been talking about in my testimony, how I had my crisis of faith, my time of alone. You know, we've all got to have our time alone where the Holy Spirit alone teaches us and trains us. And like I said, to me it was like when I was in high school and I had my high school chemistry class was divided into two parts. First part was theory and the other part was the lab. So the day came when I learned all that I needed to learn about who I was technically and theoretically, and the only way you can know it is by revelation. So it was revelation, but yet we can't live on revelation. We have to really live on knowing. Now, what do I mean by knowing? Knowing means that the revelation that you see, that you've taken by faith, has actually become a part of you, so that you know that you know that you know it. You know, the little book of 1 John starts out that way. It starts out talking about I believe, I believe, I believe. And the end of it is, I know, I know, I know. And that's really where I hope that we all end up, with a knowing. Just like when you were born again, you know that you know that you know that you're a saved person. And even if Satan or an angel or would come manifest himself before you and say, you're not saved, you know what? When you know it, you would laugh at him and say, who do you think you are? I know that I know. So that's spirit knowing. That's my spirit joined to the spirit of the Lord, and he has given me a witness that I know that I know. And that's where that's what we desire in Christ Our Life Ministries, that the body of Christ will know that they know that they know who they are in Christ, and not just know it in theory, but know it also as a living reality. And, you know, my experience, my dark time, and I call it the dark night of the soul, and I think that that phrase was coined by St. John of the Cross, an old Christian mystic years ago, centuries ago, actually. And he's written several books. You might want to pick those books up. But he talks about going through these dark times and how they're absolutely essential in our faith walk. Now, you would say, well, why would they be essential for God to take us through dark times? Well, read The Treasures of Darkness and you'll find out. And you'll discover that a lot of what you're going through is because God is conditioning you through negative times in your life to condition you to take your leap of faith into the truth of who you really are. You know, the suffering always gives way to glory. And Romans 8 says that. Romans 8 says that the suffering of this present time is not even worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. And everybody always thinks glory is for the future tense. Well, you know what? Glory is for the future. That's wonderful. But we've got to know what it means to have the glory living in us and expressing himself out through us right here and now. And so to know that, God has to condition us. And I love that scripture that I got my book, the title of my book from. It's in Isaiah 45, verse 3. It says, I will give you the treasures of darkness, the hidden riches in secret places that you might know me, that you might know, and the God that has called you by your name, that you might know. And I always say, it's not good enough that God knows I have a tremendous inheritance right here and now for me in Christ. It's not good enough that God knows that that I have the fullness of Christ living inside of me right now, and I don't know it, and I mean know it by being one with it, really knowing it inside myself as a living reality. If I don't know it, I'm not going to function from it. And so it's going to be like a computer like most of us have, and I'm sure my computer is the same way. It's just got all kinds of capacities, and it can do so much, but yet I don't operate it. So I don't operate it to its fullness. Now, we have this fullness within us, and I'll give you a little hint. The reason that I hated myself as a Christian, loved Jesus with all my heart, but hated the human me, was because, basically, I was taught that I had an evil nature that I had to fight all the time. So that caused me to hate me, myself. So we need to discover who the real culprit is in Romans 7. And that's what I discovered in my own life personally, that it was not me even doing the evil things, the things that I couldn't conquer, the sins that were in me that I could not conquer. It was not me even doing that, but it was Satan deceiving me. He's the culprit, not me. And when you start seeing that he is the culprit and not the human you, then you stop blaming yourself and you stop taking those accusations from him. So that has to be exposed, that the evil one that's misusing you is really Satan. It's not your human flesh. It's not your humanity. Your humanity is precious. God has chosen your humanity to express himself through. He loves you, and he accepts you wholly. The problem is we don't love ourselves, and we don't accept ourselves wholly because we think we've always got to fight it with ourselves. Because basically, what we're hearing in our minds is Satan in first person talking to us. Anytime that you feel like that you're condemning yourself, that's Satan talking to you in first person. Because he doesn't say to you, Sylvia, now I don't want you to do this and I want you to do that. He doesn't talk like that. He talks like he's you. He disguises himself as you. So what you're hearing on the inside is, oh, I'm so terrible. Well, I should have done better. I need to be a better wife. I need to be a better person at work. I feel hypocritical when I go to church because I'm one way at home and another way. You see, I'm this. I'm so terrible. I'm condemn. That's not even your voice. That's his voice. And we've got to discover the culprit that's speaking these things in our head. And know that because we're not fighting, spiritual warfare is not fighting flesh and blood. So we're not fighting our humanity, our precious humanity. Why would we fight it? Why do we hate it? You see? No, the war is not against our own precious humanity. It's against the one that lies to us in our minds. Well, you know, we've taught here that we still don't have an evil nature. We still don't have the satanic nature. You see, that our nature is the spirit that lives inside of us. It's not us even. It's the spirit that lives in us. And before we were saved, the spirit that lived in us was the God of this world. Ephesians chapter 2 says that. But now in Christ, the spirit of Christ lives inside of us. But that does not mean that our farmer owner, who is Satan, who is outside of us, does not speak to us very loudly. You see, he's really bound. He's really speaking to us through bars. It's like he's in prison bars. How do I know that? Well, because it says that in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. Let's turn to that and let's read that. Chapter 2, verse 14 says this. Says verse 14, where so much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, meaning humanity, we being his children, are partakers of flesh and blood, he also took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. So he didn't die on the cross to destroy us, to destroy our precious humanity. He died on the cross to deliver us from the satanic spirit that indwelt us, that caused us to be the sinners we were, and still speaks to us from the outside. But he's behind prison doors. He has no power over us unless we give it to him. And then it says, and also the cross delivers us. He, through death, destroyed Satan in us, and he was delivered through death, because out goes the satanic spirit. When Jesus went to the cross, he was made sin, and representing us, all of humanity, he was made sin, because we're spirit-indwelt humanity, wrong spirit-indwelt humanity, satanic spirit-indwelt humanity. That's what we are. That's what all of us are before we're saved, before we're born again of the Spirit of God. That's what being born again means. We've been delivered from a satanic spirit. Okay, now it says, through his death, that he might destroy him. That is, destroy Satan, it says, that has the power of death. You see, he has the power of death. He got it through Adam's fall, and deliver us who were all their lifetime subject to bondage. So the cross is about delivering humanity, delivering me, making me available to receive the Spirit of the living God. And that's what I do when I receive Christ. I receive the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of holiness inside me. All right. So I have that's my nature. And the human being doesn't have a nature of its own. It's a derivative being. We all are derivative beings. We derive our nature from the one that lives in us. Now through Christ, we have the Spirit of Christ living in us, and we are deriving. Therefore, I say I have a new nature because he's my new nature. Therefore, I am righteous because he's my righteousness. All right. But Satan still speaks to us on the outside. He is still screaming through bars. And guess what? He's not gagged. So he's behind bars, but he's not gagged. And we listen to him. And he condemns us in our minds. And he makes us feel terrible, like we should try to do better. Okay, then what is he doing? He's actually shouting the law to us. He's actually shouting at us behind bars, saying, now you should do better. So, but I'm not thinking that. This is how I'm thinking. I should do better. I should not have screamed at my kids. I should not have done this. I should not have sinned. It's true that we shouldn't have. It's true that we don't have to sin. That's the point. The gospel has given us a way of deliverance where we don't have to sin. Do we sin, and can we still sin? Yes, we can. We can still sin. But do we have to? No. No, we don't have to. We've given the provision of the life of Christ, who is righteousness. We can live by faith in him, and he expresses his righteousness through us. And guess what? 1 John says, I write this little letter to you so that you will not sin. Now, if you slip into a sin, then if you forget who you are, and basically that's what it means to slip into a sin, we're going to talk about that in detail in the program that we do on temptation and sin. We're going to discuss that. So keep on listening. Keep on tuning in to this program, and you'll get a lot of insight about why we even sin anyway, basically because we forget who we are. We listen to Satan as he shouts at us behind prison, behind the bars, and he speaks to us in our soul and he makes us feel afraid in our bodies. You see, that's his spirit influencing us because we're living in his world. That's not my nature. That's him from the outside of me shouting at me. And here I hear it. And if I don't know any better, then I fall underneath that delusion and I'm trapped again, trying to overcome my own sins, trying as hard as I can to improve myself. And it's because I've simply believed his lies. All right. Now, what is the answer? The answer is, the Bible says that we are dead to the law. It says that in Romans 7, the beginning of Romans 7, before Paul goes into the dilemma of describing his own experience as him not understanding that he was dead to the law. He thought he was pretty much alive to the law. Why? You see, the law doesn't really die. We die to it. We die because we know we're dead in Christ. Our humanity has no life of its own. I'm deriving my life from the life of Christ within me. So I don't have my own life. But if you still have your own, if you think you still have your own life, you're still under that delusion, you see, then you don't know that you're dead to the law. You think that you can keep it pretty well. And so all God does is say, okay, then go ahead and try. And that's what, so God, and that's really his mercy. That's his first form of mercy and love to you, is to say, I'm going to give you a little religion where you think you can keep the law. Okay, that's elementary religion, really. Okay, what is the law? The law is an outer standard that I'm supposed to measure up to in my flesh. You see, in my humanity. Well, guess what? My humanity is a helpless expression of the life of a spirit. So I have no power of my own. So how in the world can I do the law? I can't. God has to prove that to us. I say that God has to prove to us that there is no way that we can keep the law. We don't believe it. We can see that in theory. But like I said when I started this program, we have to go into the lab. And the lab proves to us that we can't keep it. How? Because we try over and over and over. And in my own experience, I told you all last program, my own experience of trying and failing, trying and failing. And basically, that's like an engine. I'll try a little harder. It's like the little engine that could. I'm going to try a little bit harder. I'm going to try a little bit harder, a little bit harder. I can do it. I can do it. I can do it. Well, no, that's not true. You cannot do it. That human I has no power and life of its own. So it's meant to fail. And thank God it does fail. And thank God it failed in my life. And thank God God gave me those darknesses, those dark times of being so condemned because I could not live the Christian life. But see, I was never meant to. I was never meant to, and you aren't either. Christ alone is the one that has to live the Christian life. Christ alone is in you. He's the one that, I mean, the fruits of the Spirit are the fruits of the Spirit. They're not my fruits. They're not the fruits of the human being. They're the fruits of the Spirit. So as I rest, put my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, He expresses His fruit through me. Okay, but Satan's always shouting at me from the outside. Do more. Be better. Try harder. And I rise up. If I don't know I'm dead to the law, I will rise up and say, oh, okay, I will. I'll try a little bit harder. And I will fail every time until I'm finally conditioned to see that the culprit really is Satan speaking to me in my mind in first person, not in me. He's on me. Who's in me is Jesus. That's the one I'm married to. He's my true husband. But yet I'm listening to the husband that I used to be joined to, which is Satan. So what kind of marriage would that be? If you had been married, and I knew a man that did this, he was married to a wife. They had two children. He divorced her. She was a control freak like crazy. And she used the two children to control him. Well, he gets married again. Well, his wife, his new wife, how can she live under that when he is absolutely giving his whole attention to his first wife all the time? He jumped every time she called, you see. Every time she told him to do something, he did it. You see, how could that wife live? How can you live under that? Now, we're doing the same thing. Our old husband is still shouting at us, and we're still marching to his tune. How can my new husband, Christ, take that? My new husband, Christ, is patient, and he waits. He waits until I get to the end of me still responding to the old husband. And when I get to the end, and when I'm desperate enough, I'll finally close the book that I cannot live the Christian life, but I will put my whole faith and my whole reliance on the one who is living the Christian life through me and by me, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll finally know my marriage to my new husband. I will finally know what it means to be one with him. And I will. So to get that oneness takes a leap of faith. away from everything that Satan is shouting at us, everything that I'm hearing even in my flesh, everything that I'm feeling, and I'm moving away, and I'm leaping into what God says about me, and I'm resting in that. You see, the book of Hebrews, wonderful. I love the book of Hebrews. I'm going to teach that whole book sometime. But I love it because it illustrates all the Old Testament stories or illustrations of New Testament realities. Every one of them are. And so the one that I'm going to point to right now is, and the book of Hebrews talks about Jesus Christ being better than any Old Testament symbol, because the whole Testament was a pattern of the New Testament realities. So everybody wants to hold on to the old patterns. You know what? Years ago, my husband was building a sidewalk out in front of our house, and he put up forms. Now, the Old Testament are like forms. So he did wooden 2x4s and made a form. And then the concrete truck came and delivered the concrete, put it in, he smoothed it out, and it became our sidewalk. Well, after the concrete dried, he took the form away. Well, because he didn't need it anymore, because the real sidewalk had come. It was only a form of the sidewalk. Well, that's a funny illustration, but it's an easy one to look at and point to, that the Old Testament stories are really the outer form for when the New Testament came, which is Christ. Christ is the reality. When Christ came, who is the reality, we no longer need these Old Testament forms. So the New Covenant takes the place of the Old Covenant. All right, because the reality has come, who is Christ himself. But there's pictures. These forms bring pictures to us of New Testament realities. And so in the book of Hebrews, he talks about the children of Israel wandering in the wilderness. Guess what? The children of Israel wandering in the wilderness is a picture of the Christian wandering in his Romans 7 experience. The things I want to do, I can't do. Basically, because he hasn't taken a leap of faith. Just like the children of Israel would not enter into the promised land. And I'm going to go into this in more detail in the next program. But let me read you what the writer of the book of Hebrews says in chapter 3, starting with 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost says, today, if we hear his voice. So now listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying today about this Old Testament story. They would not go in. We read that earlier in another program about how they refused to go into the promised land, basically because they would not go in believing that God was with them. And he called them a rebellious generation. And this is what he also says. It says in verse 8, harden not our hearts as in the day of provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when the fathers tempted us, proving me, and saw my works 40 years. Okay, wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. See, now we're meant to know God's ways in the New Testament. That's what we intend to bring across in Christ Our Life Ministries, is not just to see the acts of God, because we do see the miraculous acts of God, but also know his ways. That's the spirit of revelation and knowledge, and knowing his ways. So I swear in my wrath, God says, they shall not enter into my rest. And take heed therefore, brethren, now it's talking to us in the new covenant, lest there be left any of you an evil heart of unbelief. You see, an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Whoa! Because, why? Because they would not enter into his rest. Well, the next time when we come together, we're going to talk about entering into the rest. You see, there is a rest promised to the people of God, that we don't have to live the rest of our life striving to become something that we can never become in and of ourselves, that we can rest in the one who is our life. So thank you for joining us, and joining me today, and we'll continue this next time on The Liberating Secret. God bless you. I hope that you've been blessed by today's program. These programs have been brought to you by Christ Our Life Ministries, based in Louisville, Kentucky. If you would like to know more about us, please check out our websites, www.theliberatingsecret.org and www.spiritbroadcasting.net. The Liberating Secret is our literary site. We offer many articles by many authors, and I have my own writings on it as well. You will find a bookstore where you will be able to purchase many of my own books and booklets, as well as other authors who also teach the truths of liberation. We have an online monthly newsletter that you might want to sign up for. Check it out. You're going to be blessed if you do. Now for our other website, which is the Spirit Broadcasting Network. All of our past TV and radio programs are being broadcast on this website. If you have a favorite program, you might want to find it here. If you are interested in any events such as conferences, retreats, or home meetings that we are conducting, please check out our calendar that you will find on both of our websites. We have an annual conference here in Louisville, Kentucky in May. It is always held the weekend after Mother's Day. We have great fellowship, great teaching, and great music by Ron Block, and he's from Nashville. Twice a year, I teach a woman's retreat at Pawleys Island, South Carolina. Women, don't wait to sign up for Pawleys. You will love it. If you would like to have a meeting in your area, please email me at sylviap@theliberatingsecret.org. And thank you for joining us, and may God richly bless you. Goodbye.